The heritage of Fawlty Towers and how it's gone on to inspire so many generations of people, of TV makers, showmakers. Does it amaze you that it had such a big impact?
It's funny, isn't it? And yet it's really, and I didn't realize this for years, and then I was being interviewed by Melvyn Bragg, and Melvyn said to me, but they're farces, aren't they? And I thought, of course they are. That's what they are. They're old-fashioned English farces in the tradition, let's say 30, 40 years ago, of Ray Cooney and John Chapman and Brian Ricks. And the British always loved farce. And what I love about it is that although it needs to be believable, it can stretch believability a little bit and allow the acting to go slightly over the top. So the whole thing is a little more emotionally charged than the ordinary comedy, and that means there's more laughs there because the emotion is around.
John, the thing is with, you know, Basil in particular, and this idea of cringe comedy, like creating these moments that people want to cringe at, there's been a lot of characters that have jumped off and embraced that. But it's just, you broke a mold there.
Well, you see, yes, in a sense it's cringe because some people cringe to think of how embarrassing Basil is. One person I met had never seen it before, and when it started, he became so embarrassed he left the room. Can you believe that? And then he went back and he stood in the doorway because he wanted to know what happened. But he never went and sat down to... Yes, but you know, this is very old. I mean, the first time I was aware of this was a very clever woman who played a little busybody called Mrs. Something or Other, and this is probably 30 years ago. And there was a lot of comedy at that time where you were really laughing a little bit like Partridge. You were laughing at him because he was so awful. And there were several shows where there were sort of guests came on, and the idea was to embarrass the guests. And that was 30, 40 years ago, and I thought to myself, I don't really like this. This is not comedy that I like, because I've always loved farce. The best things I ever saw were French farces written about 1890 at the National Theatre. I saw one with Albert Finney in it when he was playing the Jew's lead. And it was called A Flea in Her Ear, and it was written by a Frenchman called Georges Feydeau. And I just thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen because the plotting was fiendishly clever. And the plotting in the comedy these days isn't fiendishly clever because people don't really know what they should be trying to do and probably don't have the skills to do it anyway. It's a bit rude, but I believe it's the case because there's lots of very good performers.
What would you rate now? Are there comedies now that you think?
When you've been in comedy so long, of course you anticipate what's going to happen and you've seen the jokes before. And it's very, very rare to come across something that's completely original. I think when I saw Eddie Izzard for the first time, I was excited. I wanted to see more because I thought he was wonderfully funny in a way that I was not familiar with.
Coming to Bord Gáis Energy Theatre, it's three episodes that you chose, Fawlty Towers. How did you pick those?
Well, you know, I don't remember very well because the history of this goes back very, very long time, pre-COVID. Before COVID, I went to Australia twice. First of all, to do the casting, and secondly, to do some of the direction of that this version of these three with the Germans and Mrs. Richards and the hotel inspector. And when I arrived, somebody had been doing some work on the script, and I think it was probably the C.J. Ranger, the director, but it was very, very good. And I only had to make a small number of adjustments to sort of hear little things here and there. And so that was in existence. And the funny thing was, although it was very good, because the Aussies have a lot of very good, very underpaid actors. It's quite sad because it's hard to make a living as an actor in Australia, and they're really good. But it was a very good production, but it didn't do particularly well at the box office. which surprised us. And then the next thing that happened was COVID. Mm. And in COVID, I had another show, not an old one, a new one, that was traveling around the country. And in March 2020, it just stopped because of COVID and was never heard again. So by the time we finally got back onto this, I knew that the script was in great shape and it was just a question of getting the casting right.
And before I let you go as well, do you love that new generations of people are discovering not only like Fawlty Towers, but Monty Python and work that you've done to like people who are much younger than both of us discovering?
Yes, I know. And what it sort of amuses me in a perverse way that most young people have no idea who I am until they realize that I was in Harry Potter. Now, when I was in Harry Potter, I have to tell you, I was in two of the films for a combined total of 36 seconds. So this is what I'm now remembered for, and also for doing the voice of the king in Shrek. If in the Caribbean they've never heard of me except until they realize I was Q in a couple of Bond movies.
John Cleese, thank you for your time this morning.
Lovely talking to you, darling.